I'd spend 10,000 hours and 10,000 more. Oh, if that's what it takes to learn that sweet heart of yours. And I might never get there, but I'm gonna try. If it's 10,000 hours or the rest of my life, I'm gonna love you.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We will be going live to Tokyo coming up next with all the big headlines coming out. Do we have to play that spoiler alert thing?
No.
No.
Do you want to?
No.
Okay, good. Department of Veterans Affairs is going to require 115,000 of its frontline healthcare workers to be vaccinated over these next 2 months, the first federal agency to make such a mandate. State of California said today that all state employees and healthcare workers, public and private, have to verify their vaccination status, either through a vaccine card or code issued by the state. And officials in California, including the governor, made it very clear that this is not a mandate, they said. But for those who are still unvaccinated, you're going to have to go, especially if you're working in a hospital, for example, you're going to have to undergo testing twice a week. This does not take into account those people, by the way, who have had and recovered from the COVID. There is not one carve out for anybody who's already had this thing and been sick by it and basically immune to it again.
Well, Alex Stone joins us now, and looks like the rental car shortages across the country remain a thing, huh, Alex?
Yeah, not getting any better. Remember, we talked about this a number of weeks ago, and rental car garages are still empty. They had the rental car company said, you know what, by the end of July, beginning of August, we should be good, but if you're able to find one, if you're going on vacation, it can be really expensive, like $1,000 a day in Hawaii or in Florida. It's supply and demand. They don't have a lot of them, so people are willing to pay for them. And it's a rude awakening when you've booked your airline, you've booked your hotel, and then you go, let me just get a car here, and there's nothing available, or it's hundreds or even $1,000 a day. Lizeth Andrews, she tried to find a rental car in South Carolina. She was heading there, and it was really expensive, and she was shocked by it.
It was just crazy expensive. Like, I don't even remember, but it was like $300 a day or something. Just insane.
I mean, $300 a day is a deal compared to Hawaii or Florida, but still a lot more than many of us want to spend if you're going for a week and you do the $300 a day. So all of this goes back to the pandemic. The major car rental companies, they sold off almost all of their, well, million of their cars to try to stay alive. Hertz declared bankruptcy. They had no cars, and they thought, well, we'll just buy some more. But then the microchip shortage happened, and the auto companies figured out they can charge a lot to sell them to regular consumers instead of in mass deals, and they haven't been able to buy them. And so this has been a perfect storm, and Nick Ewan over at The Points Guy, he says it's going to be a while.
First, a lot of car rental companies really trimmed their fleets back substantially, 30 to 40% during the pandemic due to this incredible drop in demand. And they haven't been able to build that inventory back up quickly enough as a result of travel really coming back, especially domestically.
So, guys, what do you do? Well, the car rental companies are saying, one, if you're planning on traveling, like, for Christmas, you need to book the rental car right now.
Wow.
That, because they don't know if they're going to be available even then. And even if you book it, there have been a lot of people who then show up, and they're like, well, I got a reservation. And the car rental company is, you know, they go, man, too bad. It's like Seinfeld, where you showed up, and I think it was Seinfeld, an episode of it, where they show up, and there's nothing there and nothing that they can give you. And then people are turning toward these, and I don't know about this. This kind of creeps me out, but the peer-to-peer car sharing companies.
Yeah. This is like Airbnb for a rental car.
Yeah, or Uber. Like Turo, you rent somebody's personal car. They'll deliver it to the airport for you, or you can go to it. But there's a bunch of them now. Turo, Get Around, Avail. And people say they're having a lot of success with that this is the way you do it now, since the rental car companies don't. Well, here, this is Turo's CEO.
In some of these markets where the car rental crunch is the worst, like in Hawaii, like in Anchorage, Alaska, we're finding our hosts are stepping in and they're just sharing their idle cars that otherwise would just be sitting there. And travelers are getting access to them.
Yeah, but you're driving somebody's car that they're loaning to you, and you're paying for it. It can be a whole lot cheaper, but, you know, at the beginning of Uber, I think everybody was kind of, I'm still kind of creeped out about it, that you're getting into some random person's personal car. So, same idea that then they'll just bring you their car and give it to you, and then you drive that around. But there aren't a lot of other options that either you pay a lot or you can't find a rental car at all, and you go to Turo or Get Around or Avail, and you have to go that route.
I was just looking for your trip to Tahoe. If you're flying into Sacramento, and you Shannon's trip here.
Shannon's going to Tahoe. How do you know I was going to Tahoe?
You can choose. I mean, you can go through a kind of a car you like, the make of the car. You could even pick a car that's similar to the car that you drive. And if somebody has that available, that you could rent it. I mean,
why would you want that? Isn't the coolest thing about renting a car is you get something that you don't have?
True, but I mean, if you need it, this is the thing. If Turo is one of those places where they're going to make money off of the crunch aspect of it, we're in a tough place here.
Right.
You can go from a Maserati for $500 a day to a brand new Kia K5 for $59 a day.
And that is a great deal I was reading this article and they talked to this employee from Hertz. She works at the Hertz in Brooklyn. And she says that she's getting cursed out all the time by people when they realize how much these cars are going for, that she's seen people pay as much as $500 a day for that compact car that is not a Maserati, right? so that they're cussing out the rental car company employees.
Which, I mean, come on. But I think you should get the Maserati when you go to Tahoe.
Agree.
Roll around in that puppy and... Yeah, and the other part that's aggravating is because getting a rental car was never a problem, that you go on and it says nothing available, and you're like, I must have screwed up the dates. Let me try that again.
Right.
And then you get nothing. They do say, though, that if you're booking and, you know, let's say you're looking for Thanksgiving or for Christmas, that if you're a little bit flexible in the hours or in the days, if you can go a day earlier, a day later, even if you change it from, okay, I won't pick it up at 3, I'll pick it up at noon, that you can go from nothing available or $1,000 to it being available and $100 a day, that you gotta play with the numbers. You gotta put in dates and times and everything else. And something may come around, but in the big areas around Orlando, in Hawaii, in Vegas, there's just nothing. And I mean, you can play with those numbers all you want. Nothing's gonna come up.
All right, 2017 Maserati Levante for $192 a day, or the Maserati Gran Turismo from 2017, that's $465 for
that. Oh, my gosh.
Or you can go to Hertz National and get a Malibu for $900.
A Chevy Malibu, it's still got a baby seat in the back of it and barf on the passenger seat.
Yeah.
But hey, knock yourself out.
The screen hasn't been updated in how long since GM has updated that, but okay.
Alex, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Tell Jim Ryan hello.
I will. I was going to ask if you wanted me to pass on a message.
Give him kisses.
Kisses.
Love that man.
Oh.
Well, you will isolate your kisses and pass them along.
Mm-hmm. We certainly will.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Alex. Alex Stone there with the ladies. And again, I've just in terms of like the used car market is still booming right now. Used cars are one of those markets that I've never seen as active as it is right now, and such a seller's market, where there's so few of them on the that are available that the prices have been driven up. So, money. Walk through fire for you. Just let me adore you. Mathematically, maybe?
No way.
ABC's Jim Ryan's going to join us in a couple of minutes. We're hooking up with him. He is in Tokyo. It's 5 in the morning tomorrow.
Yeah,
ask him what we had for dinner tonight.
I just looked at what time it was. Yeah, because I could tell his voice was like right, you know, in the morning.
There are 3 rescue missions in Los Angeles, all 3 privately funded, alcohol and drug free, with the goal to get people off the street permanently. The rescue mission, the midnight mission, the Los Angeles mission all offer safe shelter. They provide support, training and other services to help people get their lives back. And now through the 8th of August, KFI and iHeartMedia LA, along with Albertsons and Vons, raising money to support the three LA missions. So please donate at the checkout before August 8th at all LA County Albertsons, Vons, Pavilions locations. For all the details or to donate online, go to KFIAM640.com/missions. Be part of the heart of LA and help those who are lost become found.
Jim Ryan joins us now live from Tokyo. Jim, how's it going?
Well, it's raining here a little bit, which I think to a lot of people is kind of a good thing because it's been so hot here the last few days, Shannon. Some of the competition, we're told, the skateboarding specifically out on that pavement, it's been like being in an air fryer. It's been incredibly hot. So this at least will cool it down some. You know, the prospects of a full-blown typhoon coming in here tomorrow, as was the initial forecast, well, that's gone away. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be a little cooler, and it's going to disrupt some of the schedule. But, you know, they're working around it here, and at least it's not as hot as it has been, Shannon.
I would imagine that in the Winter Olympics it's more important, but in the Summer Olympics, do they bake in extra days in case the weather does become an issue?
Yes, they do. And in fact, that's why it was fairly easy for them to move some of the sailing events from Tuesday tomorrow back to Sunday. So they've already, that's on the books already. They just shift things around a bit. They change schedules. And especially, and sadly, because you don't have thousands of people buying tickets to individual events. Can you imagine buying a ticket for something that gets moved and you can't go, but you know, this year is different. The good and the bad, I guess, of COVID is that it's easy to do that kind of shift. All you have to move are officials, coaches, and competitors.
We know that the games are largely unpopular right now there in Tokyo because of the amount of money it costs to put on the games, the fact that you just highlighted that they can't have spectators, they don't get that influx of cash into the economy from all the tourism dollars. Did the protesters remain outside of some of the venues?
In small numbers, yeah. I think there is still that cry to stop them right now, even 4 days into the events. The concern that, yes, it's too expensive, that it's going to be a super spreader event for COVID-19. Yeah, people are complaining about it somewhat. I think, though, that as Japan specifically wins more medals, that tends to quiet down just a bit. Japan is leading in the gold medal count right now with 8. And they're right there on the hunt for the overall medal count. So I think the Japanese like what they see. And by the way, whereas the viewership in the United States has been quite low, I think the opening ceremony, there were a third fewer viewers this time than 6 years ago in Rio. The opening ceremony here in Japan was more widely watched than any event on TV in the last decade. So I think minds are being changed just a bit. And, you know, the numbers are released every day and show that an extremely low number of positive numbers are coming out of the Olympic bubble.
Jim, one of the bigger concerns over here after the weekend was the women's gymnastics and the Russians beating them in the qualifying round, and how that was just like a massive upset considering how well they did in Rio. And it was supposed to be an even better team as we look at the all around coming up on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. Yeah. I think, though, that people are looking at it and they see it as an anomaly. They're like, okay, well, let's see what happens Tuesday. Because, you know, I think the women's U.S. gymnast team still, they made gold medal. Chances are pretty good of that. But, yeah, it was surprising, I think, that the Russian Olympic Committee team would beat them. But at the same time, Simone Biles said it best, I think. This is the first time she's ever had to compete without her parents in the stands. And she's doing it. She's doing it not happily, but she is doing it. And she had very minor slips. I mean, remember, the bar she set for herself in Rio 6 years ago is extremely high. So a little slip here and there doesn't mean the end of the world, certainly. They may still pick up a gold. They'll certainly be in medal contention come tomorrow.
Alex Stone gives you kisses.
Give them back to him if you would.
I will do what I can, but I'm not guaranteeing that.
No tongues.
Jim, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Gary.
Jim Ryan there live from Tokyo with the latest on what's going on in the Olympics. And on Mondays at 1:30, we talk about mixtape. We talk about the music industry. That's coming back on Gary and Shannon. Give me like a time away. Yeah, get out. There's the door.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It looks like California, New York City, and the VA have all said that they would require government employees to get the COVID vaccine or face weekly testing. It was like boom, boom, boom. I think New York was first, then California, then the VA.
Now, California says it's not a mandate.
It's a lie.
But they're going to make you do it. I've already heard from some nurses who have said this is a bad, bad idea. And one of the examples that they gave was, as nurses, we administer vaccines on a daily basis, Hep B for newborns, Tdap, MMR for women. They're given the fact sheet to make an informed decision on whether or not they want the vaccines. They have the right to decline by signing an informed consent form. With any vaccine, people should have the right to make an informed decision and should not be mandatory to do their job. We have been on the front lines and are exhausted. I'm excited is not the right word. Curious to see where this goes legally. You talked about this before. I mean, you said that it's almost given that there will be a legal challenge to some of this.
Yeah, I don't know how the government forcing you into a health decision is legal.
President Joe Biden, when he reached the 100 days in office milestone, there was a poll that was taken by ABC News about Americans' optimism about the direction of the country. Right now, 55% of the public say they are pessimistic about the direction of the country. That's a change from about a third who said the same several months ago. So on Mondays at 1:30, we have a little bit of fun with the music industry. We have something a little called Mixtape Monday.
So,
hey, girl.
You know, it's Mixtape Monday, right? So I made you this special mix just for you.
Just another Mixtape Monday.
Tape Monday.
I love it. It's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Well, I thought James Brown was dead, but apparently he is not dead. His legal fight continues. Remember when James Brown died? Christmas Day 2006.
His estate is estimated to be worth anywhere from $5 million to more than $100 million, and it has been tied up in litigation since that day. More than a dozen lawsuits have been filed over the years.
One of the people fighting this, or fighting for this, I suppose, is James Brown's former partner, we'll call her, just legally, Tommy Rae Heine. She is claimed to be his fourth and last wife. She is the mother of at least one of his kids. She was not named in James Brown's will, but she says that she was entitled to at least a portion of the estate because of the fact that they were married. Or were they?
In June of last year, the South Carolina Supreme Court ruled that Heine was never legally married to Brown because her previous marriage had not been officially annulled. She was married to another man. At the time of their marriage, her and Brown's marriage in 2001, listen to this. The other husband, she learned, had three wives in his native Pakistan.
Now,
so her lawyers argued that those other wives made their marriage invalid.
Right. So she didn't have to have anything annulled. It was invalid to begin with. The South Carolina Supreme Court ruled the union had never been declared void by an order of a competent court.
Why would you want four wives?
Oh, my.
Isn't one enough?
Well, it's the four wives I wouldn't be worried about. Here's the joke. It's the four mothers-in-law.
Oh.
That's the joke.
Good luck going home.
That's the joke. I didn't say I live by it. I just said that's the joke. Too easy?
Yeah, it was like a dad joke. Low-hanging fruit.
That's why I set it up like that, so people wouldn't get mad at me. And I don't know how often my mother-in-law actually listens.
I'm just saying.
Are you going to tell her now?
No.
Yes, you are.
No.
Kanye West, we told you last week, had a listening party for his fans at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. where they were going to listen to some of the tracks off of his new album called Donda, named after his mother. Well, he has decided to stay. And I don't mean like he's just staying in Atlanta. He is staying in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
What?
He says he's channeling the energy for the new album by staying at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Like in the locker room or something? The owner's suite?
I guess his team set up a studio, a general living area, and even chef services to cook for him. Anyone can live in a stadium. That makes perfect sense, right? But to expect them to eat the bad food there is not...
What are you talking about, bad food? Stadium food's delicious food, except if you're the new Dodger dog and you're garbage.
Okay, well, listen.
Yeah.
Even you don't eat stadium food more than twice a week.
Right.
As many football games as you went to in 2019, I don't think you went to more than two a week.
Right. But remember at the beginning of the pandemic when I ordered that massive box of real Dodger dogs,
yes.
Farmer John Dodger dogs that you're no longer able to get a hold of? I was eating three of those a week. There were 18 of them. Box only lasted about a week.
The Donda, the album that Kanye's been working on, was set to be released on Saturday. But after he caught his second wind in the summer of 2021, the album release date was pushed back to August. Originally, this thing was supposed to come out in July of last year. And Mondo probably has his finger on the pulse of what Kanye is thinking. But is he just reproducing these songs over and over again? Or I should say re-engineering them over and over again? Because everything's recorded, right?
Yeah, but a lot of it's like mixing. And I think he's just a perfectionist, to be honest. And he's just... wants to do it over again after getting that huge reaction from the audience multiple times because he's had multiple listening parties. And now he's just in the arena getting all the energy. I mean, as silly as it sounds, he's just really inspired right now. I mean, I'm not a huge Kanye fan, but I understand kind of his process.
This is his MO. This is what he does. Like
That's
when he went
doing.
To Montana or whatever.
Wyoming.
Wyoming. Yeah. And that he just gets like, when he's super focused on it, he's all in, right?
Like so... Well, I don't want to get into this celebrity relationship. I was going to ask, is it good or bad that Kim Kardashian finally dumped the Kanye trailer? Like she couldn't handle, I shouldn't say she couldn't handle. She, as a mother of three kids or four kids now, whatever it is, you've got to have a present father. And he's not. I mean, he's busy with music.
They've
right?
got, you is know how many people like? They have? They've got so many people. Not like she was alone with all the housework and the child rearing.
Right. She's not bouncing, you know, kids on either hip. And
she wasn't changing diapers.
No.
Plus, I think it's great for Kanye because it inspires him.
Right.
I mean, that pain inspired a lot of the songs.
It's like Fleetwood Mac. If they weren't all banging around with each other, we wouldn't have all these great records.
That may be true.
Personal pain is important.
Incredible music comes with incredible pain.
Yes. All right. Coming up next, speaking of incredible pain, the nightmare of Woodstock 99 is the topic of HBO's new documentary. We'll tell you about it when we come back.
Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Authorities say a sheriff's deputy, Wasco, in Kern County was shot and killed this weekend when his SWAT team tried to rescue hostages held inside this home in the San Joaquin Valley by a man armed with an AK-47 style rifle and a handgun. Four other people, including the suspect, were also killed in the shootout. The shooter had been previously arrested multiple times for domestic violence offenses. Deputy Philip Campus was killed during the violence yesterday afternoon. This is just that small town of Wasco, northwest of Bakersfield.
Told you about vaccines. This is going to be an interesting week as we continue to get more and more information about this. But California will become the first state in the union to require all state employees and healthcare workers to verify vaccination status. For those who are unvaccinated in hospitals, for example, it means twice a week testing. Department of Veterans Affairs will require its frontline healthcare workers to be vaccinated. And Mayor de Blasio in New York City said he is expanding that city's vaccination or test mandate to the entire workforce for the city of New York. That's about 300,000 people.
We are in the middle of Mixtape Monday, and there is a new documentary on HBO that examines Woodstock 99. I have vague memories of this debacle.
Yeah. The media blamed all the bands for the mess, but they didn't really do it. There's a new podcast called Break Stuff. Steve Hyden tried to find out and actually did a deeper dive into it. HBO is actually out with a documentary also. It's called Woodstock 99, Peace, Love, and Rage.
How are you guys doing today? Welcome to Woodstock.
There is a sixth sense that you develop when you spend your life going to venues.
Woodstock, baby.
I can tell you 100 feet away what the energy in that venue is going to be like.
That's
How
Moby.
You guys doing today? Welcome to Woodstock.
That's Moby, and he talks about, he's sort of the narrator, the host, I guess you could say, of this documentary. But in terms of what you look back on and remember, the headline that I remember that came out weeks, if not a couple of months after that Woodstock 99 was the sheer number of sexual assaults that were going on. That for some reason, people thought it would be completely okay to just have festival style living for about a week and that no one was going to think twice about it.
The original Woodstock, of course, held on that peaceful farm.
Maxie Asger's farm.
The 30th anniversary concert in 99 was held at a decommissioned Air Force base. Says the idea of having it in a military base was so that people didn't gate crash like they did at Woodstock 69, where people showed up, did not pay, and barged their way in. But the problem was is there were no trees at this base, and when you have the temperatures as hot as you did not have shade. People were dropping to the ground. You could see them camping out, trying to get shade by sleeping underneath big rigs.
The water was also at a premium. Water cost $4 a bottle back in Woodstock 99, which now when you think about it, you're like, that's not too bad. But $4 a bottle in 99 was unbelievable.
Like $10 a bottle now. And the problem was is they underestimated how much water they would need for the people. And people were dehydrated. They were fainting. And then there were the mud people.
Mud people.
The porta potties were not emptied. They were overflowing. People thought they were in a mud pit.
Well, in Woodstock 69, there was rain in upstate New York, and there were people loving the fact that they could slop around in actual mud.
Yeah, well, they were slopping around in poop.
Yeah.
There was no dog. That story will never go away.
Too many dudes, of course, reports of sexual assault at the festival, a riot that took place on that very last night. There were only three women out of more than 50 acts on two stages over the course of 3 days. Sheryl Crow, Alanis Morissette, and Jewel. Other than that, all dudes.
Yeah, and you just got a bunch of angry guys at the height of their, I've got a lot of testosterone and my prefrontal cortex is not fully developed.
Security was bad also. The festival organizers admitted they didn't really have a great security plan, which meant that the guards were not ready for what turned out to be a very aggressive crowd. And this is, they had no way of getting to the stages. How does security not have access to the entire run of the venue? I don't get it. There was a Fred Durst lookalike, Limp Bizkit, right? A Fred Durst lookalike who went in front of MTV cameras and led festival goers in an a cappella rendition of Nookie. There was a woman who organized an online resource for reports of sexual assaults. All of them share their memories in this Woodstock 99 documentary that's coming out on HBO. Interesting. I will absolutely watch that.
Me too.
I mean, this is sort of the I don't know, the first fire festival, if that makes any sense. I mean, it would be just such a letdown for people who thought they were going to experience something great. But it's also proof some of the incredible occurrences of the 20th century, if you try to manufacture them and bring them back, it's just not, it's not going to happen the same way.
Right.
Not going to happen.
Also, earworms.
Ooh, that's a fun story. Baby Shark, best example of the most recent
Please
earworm.
Please don't play it.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
But whoever wrote this for AP, Jeremy Reynolds, had a great time writing this because he wrote things like, would you walk 500 miles to get away from that tune? Get it?
Yes.
Would your poker face crack the thousandth time it played in your head?
I see what you're doing.
Does it remind you of somebody that you used to know?
Oh, man.
So-called earworms are annoying but useful, according to the Journal of Experimental Psychology.
Have you thumbed through your edition yet?
No. Peter Janata, researcher at UC Davis, said, we can hear just a fragment of a piece of music and it can take us back. How does that happen?
It's music and it smells, right?
Very much so,
those
yes.
are the two strongest things that can take you back in time and plop you in a completely different world.
They said musical fragments became a kind of a sorting mechanism that triggers clearer recall at a later date, especially when that tune plays once more. Not just you think about it, but if you actually hear it. Spontaneous mental replay of music improves memory for incidentally associated event knowledge. That's the name of the study, which is an incredible thing when you think about it. All you need is just a shred of that song, a half a moment in time, and it will take you back to wherever you were impacted by that. Whether it was, I don't know, a dance at the rec center that was right down the street from the fairgrounds. When you were in eighth grade?
That, for me, is End of the Road, Boys to Men. That every time I hear it, I'm in that rec center in an awkward slow dance from eighth grade with a kid who is probably about 6 inches shorter than me.
And now he's 7 foot
Listen,
two.
Listen, there comes a time in a boy's life.
Is that what you told
when
him?
When he is not grown.
It's okay, honey. When he's not grown. All right. John and Ken show is coming up next. Hey, tonight I'll be live on Kennedy on Fox Business at 5 and then a repeat at 9 if you missed the first
Hollywood.
One. Look at you,
Hollywood.
I don't like to.
I'll brag for you. That's what friends are for.
See you tomorrow. Stay dry, everybody.
Blessings.
So this is over.
Yes.
Gary and Shannon.
And it's not something to clap about. It's sad.